HP's founders were once hailed as the fathers of Silicon Valley, dominating personal computing, printing, and even selling to Walt Disney back in the 1940s. But all of this changed when a new CEO took the lead, who became one of the most hated executives in business history. Within a few short years, HP's stock price plummeted, their market share crashed, and over 30,000 employees lost their jobs. How did things go so bad for HP in such a short amount of time? Who's behind this disaster? Founded in 1939, HP is an old company. Out of their garage, they produced sound equipment for Walt Disney in the 1940s. Yet, it wasn't long before HP was massive and widely respected. However, in the 1990s, they were met by some fierce challenges. There was a prestigious autonomous culture at HP, but unfortunately, this was holding them back. The company was hugely bloated, with 83 different business units, each prioritizing their own needs and often doing the same tasks as each other. Employees expected regular bonuses, whatever their level of effort. HP was no longer a technical leader, but had evolved into a huge bureaucracy resistant to change. HP was quickly losing ground to competitors like Dell, IBM, and even Apple. The company needed something fresh, a leader to unify all these divisions to put HP back on top. Enter Carly Fiorina. Fiorina was a rising star. Rising up in AT&T, she was described as one of the greatest salespeople in the industry. She had just made a name for herself after leading a spin-off from AT&T, Lucent, which saw an IPO raise of over $3 billion, one of the highest in history. Fiorina then led the company's new growth into the telecommunications industry. In fact, in 1998, she was placed number one on Fortune's 50 Most Powerful Women in American Business. Carly Fiorina was at the top of the business world. Then came her next pivotal opportunity. In 1999, the board of HP quickly and eagerly appointed her as CEO, making Fiorina the first woman CEO of a Fortune 20 company. Not only that, she received a larger signing offer than any of her predecessors. Though, there was something strange about this. While accomplished, Fiorina had no CEO experience. Yet, she was going to lead one of the largest companies on the planet. Everyone was watching and eager to see what she could do. What was she going to do differently? Was she exactly the thing HP needed? Well, Fiorina had plans to dominate the computing space, specifically to overtake IBM and Dell. Her first move was to change the company's philosophy, specifically go back to the rules of the garage. This was the work philosophy of Silicon Valley, 11 rules that encapsulate the very founding of HP by Bill Hewlett and David Packard in their garage. Some of these rules include: radical ideas are not bad ideas, invent different ways of working, and believe that together we can do anything. But Fiorina wasn't just about feel-good speeches. She was ruthless. In her first speech as CEO, she said, "The task for all of us now is to cut loose from the mechanical business models of the past, based on the old physical economy. We need a bulletproof infrastructure. It needs to be secure, reliable, ubiquitous, and always on, always working. It isn't there yet. You and I both know that, but it can be." She believed the 87 business units at HP were too focused on their own interests. There was inefficiency and redundancies. HP was slow. Under the rules of the garage, she would break down these units and combine them into just a handful. Not only did this cut a huge amount of cost, but positioned HP to react much faster. Though, as she enacted her plans and made changes, a slow, gradual resentment was growing towards Fiorina. Many employees weren't happy with her decisions, and they weren't alone. But then came her biggest move as CEO. Shortly into Fiorina's tenure, she revealed a plan. HP would merge with another company, Compaq, a computer company. But these companies were massive. The acquisition would cost HP $25 billion, and the effort to merge both businesses would be costly and messy. At the time, HP had 84,400 employees, while Compaq had 63,700 employees. But to Fiorina, this seemed perfect. HP was dominant in printing, software, and some background markets, but they were falling behind in computing, an industry that was expected to explode in the next few years. Compaq, however, was one of the largest firms in the computing space. Fiorina and the consultants found that HP was strong in markets where Compaq was weak, and vice versa. The merged companies would theoretically be able to find some cost savings by eliminating redundant facilities and personnel. This should hopefully empower HP to dominate the computing industry. They could surpass their competition. But not everyone was happy with the plan. Proposition had immense pushback. Current and past employee stockholders largely opposed the merger. They doubted that HP's culture could survive the influx of so many new workers. Then, a proxy fight broke out within the board of directors. The biggest opponent of Fiorina was Walter Hewlett, a board member and the eldest son of HP's founder. Hewlett believed this would spell disaster. With over 60,000 new staff, many HP employees would lose their jobs. But Fiorina didn't care. In fact, she ignored Hewlett's opposition and dismissed him as an academic and a musician in a letter to shareholders. Then, to make matters worse, Fiorina's letter was leaked to the press, fueling the fire and raising tensions through the roof. Board members and shareholders were at each other's throats. Despite fierce pushback and resistance, with a slight majority vote from the board, the merger was approved. Walter Hewlett attempted to fight the merger in court, but ultimately failed. The merger was announced on May 3rd, 2002, and just a few days later, the two companies would officially unite. It seemed like no one could halt Fiorina's plans. So, how did things play out? At first, the HP-Compaq merger seemed like a success. HP became the largest PC manufacturer in the world. Fiorina also boasted that HP had doubled their revenue from $42.4 billion in 1999 to about $86.7 billion in 2005. We took the growth rate from 2% to 9%. We quadrupled the cash flow. She said the two companies fit together like a zipper. But in reality, this was far from the truth. The merger wasn't just messy, it was a disaster. It turns out that Walter's objections were entirely justified. Firstly, this doubling of revenue wasn't actually true. This was just the added revenue from acquiring Compaq. Despite her insistent claims, HP's net earnings actually decreased from $3.1 billion in 1999 to $2.4 billion in 2005. Profit margins in the PC industry were razor thin. Not only that, prior to the merger, Compaq was already falling well behind competitors. Dell had just surpassed them as the top of the industry, and between 2000 and 2002, Compaq's share value dropped by half. But as it turns out, Fiorina's problems went much deeper. In one of her first meetings with her top managers, Fiorina interrupted a presentation to say, "Let me make something very clear. You will make your numbers. There will be no excuses, and if you can't make your numbers, I will find someone who can." Ironic, given how she couldn't deliver an increase on HP's earnings herself. Though, this didn't stop her from cost-cutting. She was often called Chainsaw Carly after she cut 2,000 jobs in the tech crash. In 2001, a survey of 8,000 employees revealed widespread unhappiness about poor communication and poorly implemented decisions. This was a complete reversal of earlier surveys, which found that HP had some of the highest employee satisfaction scores in corporate America. She wasn't particularly liked by the board or shareholders either. That same year, employees were asked to take a 10% pay reduction to cut costs. Most of the company agreed, hoping it would prevent potential job cuts, but the merger had made things all the worse for employees and for Carly. During the lead-up to the merger, Fiorina revealed that 15,000 HP employees may lose their jobs. Then, that number began to creep up. First to 16,000, then to 18,000, and soon to over 30,000. Even after things had settled, HP was struggling. They soon began to lose market share in their other industries, with Dell taking ground in the printing market. Some employees would even boo her at company meetings, and HP had to shut down internal message boards since it became a way to attack Fiorina. 2004 marked the last full year of Carly's tenure. By this point, HP stock had lost half of its value. She had failed to unite the company and made some poor choices. But it might not have been entirely her fault. Fiorina also took over HP at the most difficult time, perhaps for any company. Almost immediately after she was appointed, the tech bubble burst. Hundreds, if not thousands of companies went bankrupt, and others saw their shares and revenue plummet. These were tough, but arguably necessary choices, although her methods had many flaws. In 2005, Carly Fiorina was fired from the role of CEO, though not without a golden parachute of $42 million, a package so big that many shareholders later sued. The company was losing profits, market share, staff, and their share price was free-falling. They needed to rebound. HP needed a new leader. Two months later, the board of directors appointed a new CEO, Mark Hurd. This was a much better choice. Not only did Mark have actual CEO experience, but he had just turned around another company from hardship, NCR. But HP was in a tough spot. So what did Hurd do? Well, he became the anti-Carly. Hurd was noticeably different. He avoided the spotlight, turned down interviews, didn't attend technology shows, universities, or the World Economic Forum. All things that Carly did frequently. First, Hurd spent a day working at a local Best Buy. HP's road to success was still in personal computing, and he wanted to learn how customers viewed their products. Then he formed his strategy. In 2006, HP turned their marketing around, focusing on personal computers. Their new slogan was, "The computer is personal again." A huge campaign was launched to promote their new line of computers, primarily low to mid laptop models. He also began to mend HP's culture, reforming business divisions, but with a focus on accountability and results. But it wasn't all good news for employees. Even after Carly Fiorina had left, HP was still in crisis mode. Hurd had to continue slashing expenses, which included laying off another 14,500 staff to regain profitability. But Hurd's approach was different. While he and Fiorina both had massive layoffs, he at least had some self-awareness, saying, "I don't want to forget we took 15,000 jobs out of the company and told a lot of employees to go home and tell their families that they no longer had jobs." Unlike Fiorina, Hurd at least had some level of empathy, which employees saw and appreciated. So how did things pan out? Well, in the first few years after Hurd's tenure as CEO, HP's stock price more than doubled. Soon, HP became a serious competitor in affordable computing. By the end of the 2007 fiscal year, HP reached the $100 billion mark for the first time. But this was only possible thanks to the Compaq merger. So who was really responsible? Fiorina's instinct to merge with Compaq was correct. It positioned HP to dominate the PC market and allowed them to catch up to their competitors. But it was in the execution where she failed. Where Fiorina failed and where Hurd excels was in educating HP managers and employees on how to realize the cost and operational efficiencies and translate those into higher margins for each business. Now, I do want to note that it hasn't been all sunshine and rainbows for HP. They've since had to split up into two different companies, do a bunch more layoffs, and pivot quite a bit to keep up with the modern world of cloud computing. But through all of that, HP has consistently held the lead within the American personal computer market, holding roughly 25% market share for the past decade. The darkest days for HP were over. So was Carly Fiorina actually a bad CEO? Well, the answer would still be yes, because HP didn't exactly earn this dominance, they bought this dominance. And if HP continued under Fiorina, who knows how quickly this would have evaporated. But is Fiorina purely to blame? Not necessarily. She had no CEO experience and had jumped into one of the top 20 biggest companies on the planet, which was also facing hardship. The odds were stacked against her. The board that appointed her also shares some of the blame. Interviews with Fiorina never had the complete board present. And if you need any more confirmation, the second she was fired, the stock price jumped 6.9%. Everyone was relieved when she left because Carly Fiorina had nearly killed HP. Around this time, another prestigious company was making a comeback. Kodak had once dominated the camera market, but failed to adapt to digital and went bankrupt. but they're actually still around. Click this video to see what they're up to today. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.